The next LOS is to calculate income tax expense, income taxes payable, deferred tax assets and deferred tax liabilities, and calculate and interpret the adjustment to the financial statements related to a change in the income tax rate. To address this LOS, we will present an example of how a deferred tax liability is calculated and an example of how a deferred tax asset is calculated. Let's start with a deferred tax liability. Assume the original cost of an asset is $600,000. The asset has a 3-year useful life and no salvage value is expected. For tax purposes, the asset is depreciated using an accelerated depreciation method with tax return depreciation of $300,000 in year 1, $200,000 in year 2, and $100,000 in year 3. The firm recognizes straight-line depreciation expense of $200,000 each year in its income statements. Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization are $500,000 each year. The firm's tax rate is 40%. From this information, we can calculate the firm's income tax expense, taxes payable, and deferred tax liability for each year of the asset's life. In year 1, the firm recognizes $120,000 of income tax expense on the income statement, but taxes payable on the tax return are only $80,000. So, income tax expense is initially higher than taxes payable. The $40,000 difference is deferred to a future period by using an accelerated depreciation method for tax purposes. The $40,000 are reported on the balance sheet by creating a deferred tax liability. The tax base and the carrying value of the asset are used to calculate the balance of the deferred tax liability. At the end of year 1, the carrying value of the asset is $400,000 and the tax base of the asset is $300,000. By multiplying the $100,000 difference by the 40% tax rate, we get the balance of the deferred tax liability of $40,000. We can reconcile income tax expense and taxes payable with the changes in the deferred tax liability. In this example, the deferred tax liability increased $40,000 during year 1. Thus, income tax expense in year 1 is $120,000, or $80,000 in taxes payable, plus the $40,000 change in the deferred tax liability. In year 2, depreciation expense is the same on the tax return and the income statement. Thus, taxable income is equal to pre-tax income, and there is no change in the deferred tax liability. Income tax expense in year 2 is $120,000. In year 3, the firm recognizes income tax expense of $120,000 on the income statement, but $160,000 in taxes payable on the tax return. The $40,000 deferred tax liability recognized at the end of year 1 is reversed as a result of lower depreciation expense using the accelerated method on the tax return. In year 3, income tax expense is $120,000, or $160,000 in taxes payable, plus the negative $40,000 change in the deferred tax liability. Note that over the useful life of the asset, total depreciation, total taxable and pre-tax income, and total taxes payable and income tax expense are the same on the financial statements and the tax return. Also, at the end of year 3, both the tax base and the carrying value of the asset are equal to 0. By using accelerated depreciation for tax purposes, the firm deferred $40,000 of taxes from year 1 to year 3. Next, we will look at a deferred tax asset. Consider warranty guarantees and associated expenses. Pre-tax income for financial reporting includes an accrual for warranty expense, but warranty cost is not deductible for taxable income until the firm has made actual expenditures to meet warranty claims. Suppose a firm has sales of $5,000 for each of 2 years. The firm estimates that warranty expense will be 2% of annual sales, or $100. The actual expenditure of $200 to meet all warranty claims is not made until the second year. The firm's tax rate is 40%. From this information, we can calculate the firm's income tax expense, taxes payable, and deferred tax assets for year one and year two. In year one, the firm reports $1,960 of tax expense in the income statement, but $2,000 of taxes payable on the tax return. Taxes payable are initially higher than tax expense, and the $40 difference is reported on the balance sheet by creating a deferred tax asset. The tax base and the carrying value of the warranty liability are used to calculate the balance of the deferred tax asset. At the end of year one, the carrying value of the warranty liability is $100, as the warranty expense has been recognized in the income statement, but it has not been paid. The warranty expense has not been recognized on the tax return, so the tax base of the liability is zero. By multiplying the $100 difference by the 40% tax rate, we get the balance of the deferred tax asset of $40. We can reconcile income tax expense and taxes payable with the change in the deferred tax asset. In this example, the deferred tax asset increased by $40 during year one. Thus, income tax expense in year one is $1,960, or $2,000 of taxes payable minus the $40 change in the deferred tax asset. In year two, the firm recognizes $1,960 of tax expense in the income statement, but only $1,920 of taxes payable on the tax return. The $40 deferred tax asset recognized at the end of year one is reversed as a result of the warranty expense recognition on the tax return. So, in year two, income tax expense is $1,960, or $1,920 of taxes payable, plus the negative $40 change in the deferred tax asset. To summarize, if taxable income on the tax return is less than pre-tax income on the income statement, and the difference is expected to reverse in future years, a deferred tax liability is created. If taxable income is greater than pre-tax income, and the difference is expected to reverse in future years, a deferred tax asset is created. The next LOS requires us to evaluate the impact of tax rate changes on a company's financial statements and ratios. When the income tax rate changes, deferred tax assets and liabilities are adjusted to reflect the new rate. The adjustment can also affect income tax expense. An increase in the tax rate will increase both deferred tax liabilities and deferred tax assets. A decrease in the tax rate will decrease both deferred tax liabilities and deferred tax assets. Deferred tax liability and deferred tax asset values on the balance sheet must be changed because the new tax rate is the rate expected to be in force when the associated reversals occur. If there is an increase in the tax rate when previously deferred income is recognized for tax, the tax due will be higher. And when expense items previously reported in the financial statements are recognized for tax, the benefit will be greater. If there is a decrease in the tax rate, when previously deferred income is recognized for tax, the tax due will be lower. And when expense items previously reported in the financial statements are recognized for tax, the benefit will be less. Changes in the balance sheet values of deferred tax liabilities and deferred tax assets to account for a change in the tax rate will affect income tax expense in the current period. Income tax expense equals taxes payable plus the change in deferred tax liabilities minus the change in deferred tax assets. If tax rates increase, the increase in the deferred tax liability is added to taxes payable, and the increase in the deferred tax asset is subtracted from taxes payable to arrive at income tax expense. If tax rates decrease, the decrease in the deferred tax liability would result in lower income tax expense, and the decrease in the deferred tax asset would result in higher income tax expense. In the case of the deferred tax liability, we are adding a negative change, and in the case of the deferred tax asset, we are subtracting a negative change. The next LOS is to distinguish between temporary and permanent differences in pre-tax accounting income and taxable income. A permanent difference is a difference between taxable income and pre-tax income that will not reverse in the future. Permanent differences do not create deferred tax assets or deferred tax liabilities. Permanent differences can be caused by revenue that is not taxable, expenses that are not deductible, or tax credits that result in a direct reduction of taxes. Permanent differences will cause the firm's effective tax rate to differ from the statutory tax rate. The statutory rate is the tax rate of the jurisdiction where the firm operates. The effective tax rate is derived from the income statement. The effective tax rate is calculated by dividing income tax expense by pre-tax income. The statutory rate and effective rate may also differ if the firm is operating in more than one tax jurisdiction. A temporary difference refers to a difference between the tax base and the carrying value of an asset or liability that will result in taxable amounts or deductible amounts in the future. If the temporary difference is expected to reverse in the future and the balance sheet item is expected to provide future economic benefits, a deferred tax asset or deferred tax liability is created. Temporary differences can result in either expected future taxable income or expected future tax deductions. Temporary differences leading to deferred tax liabilities can arise from an investment in another firm when the parent company recognizes earnings from the investment before dividends are received. However, if the parent company can control the timing of the future reversal, and it is probable the temporary difference will not reverse, no deferred tax liability is reported. A temporary difference from an investment will result in a deferred tax asset only if the temporary difference is expected to reverse in the future and sufficient taxable profits are expected to exist when the reversal occurs.